Some may find the following disturbing. Discretion is advised.
Never before in the history of sports podcasts have two men brought you opinion and analysis like these two. They speak for a city that's desperate for wins and titles, not whining and travesty. You might not agree with what they have to say, but you'll defend their right to say it. Sports fans across the world, from Chicago, Illinois, this is the Mac and Reed Show.
What's happening, everybody? Welcome in to another edition of the Mac and Reed Show right here on the Barroom Network. Follow Barroom Network at Barroom Network on Twitter and all social media for all your off-season Bears coverage and in-season for that matter. I'm joined by Ross Reed, as always, virtually. He is at Ross Reed on Twitter. If you missed any of our previous episodes, we're on Spotify, iTunes for the audio-only versions. Hit that like button, subscribe, tell a friend or two or several. We are live on YouTube currently. The Barflies are you know, getting in, grabbing a drink, ready to grunt and grumble about the end of the Justin Fields era, as Ross just got a hot update there, as I heard. oh, there goes another. And his Twitter's blowing up, folks. And we will get to the Justin Fields era being over, as the headline of the show suggests, talking about that and the reaction from the trade when we signed off last week. Bears got Keenan Allen. We got to talk about that as well. And the outlook for the Bears in this offense going forward certainly looks locked into number one overall pick Caleb Williams having his pro day, slinging some darts, 70-yard darts, and Matt Eberflus looking very impressed, dropping his jaw. Talk about March Madness. Talk about what we're watching. Surprises along the way, as usual. But how are you, Ross? What's happening?
I'm good. How you doing? March Madness full on in effect, and yeah, absolutely. It's still light outside. We're, you know, even though it's a little cool outside, we're getting closer to spring.
We are getting closer. We had our 70-degree days, and then get some snow tomorrow. We shall see.
Winter part two.
Yeah, exactly. That damn groundhog's full of shit. You never know. You never know what you're going to get in the Midwest here. But we begin, as I alluded to at the beginning of the intro of the show, that the Bears no longer have Justin Fields in the quarterback room. It's not certain who will be the quarterback for the Chicago Bears, but he was traded last week to the Steelers for a sixth-round 2025 pick, potential for a fourth round if he plays 51% of his snaps, which is certainly in question because of the whole Russell Wilson situation, who he looks to sit behind and learn from. A former Pro Bowl quarterback, Super Bowl winning quarterback, you know, had great years with the Seahawks, but now, you know, the couple of years in Denver, Broncos country, let's ride. No, let's not. It was rough for Russ in Mile High City. And so now that Steelers quarterback room certainly looks a lot better than it did last season when you ditch Kenny Pickett, you ditch Mitch Trubisky, and then you flip that for Russell Wilson on a cheap deal. And then you fleece the Bears out of Justin Fields, you know, giving up nothing but a sixth round pick with the potential for a fourth round pick in 2025, which could be anything, but who knows? Regardless, that you knew that this writing was on the wall. We talked about it every week, and now we don't got to talk about it anymore after this week, Ross, as far as mentioning Justin Fields until he lines up in training camp or until Steelers play week one, perhaps something like that, because he's not going to be in a Bears uniform next season. Of the spots for him to land, certainly like this destination. I certainly understand Bears fans' frustration, as there was just, you know, not exactly certainty as far as them using that number one overall pick on Caleb Williams. Maybe they're going to keep Justin Fields and getting Caleb Williams. There was still, for as many folks that said reset, you got to draft number one overall quarterback who looks like a generational talent in Caleb Williams. There were several people that, and many people that said, that, you know, Justin Fields could be that guy given a good situation. And, you know, getting Keenan Allen last week certainly helped. You look at the 1-2 punch of him and DJ Moore. But regardless, the biggest criticism I saw for Justin Fields, and which makes a lot of sense for the Bears wanting to unload him, is the tape that you saw from last year where you thought that he would be making this jump in the all-important third year. I get it. Coordinators changed. Coaching changed for him. And just everything, you know, as far as a management front office standpoint, was working against him. But, you know, we've seen quarterbacks in similar situations ball out in spite of this. He did not do that. And ultimately, like Ross has chimed in on constantly on the show, it comes down to a money issue as well if he's going to get a payday in the coming years here. So, you know, I think great outcome for the Steelers. The Bears, they don't get a lot, but now you do get rid of Justin Fields. It certainly looks like the number one pick will be used on Caleb Williams. What was your reaction, and do you like the move of Justin Fields to the Steelers, Ross?
My reaction was, you know, relief that it was finally over. I was actually just kind of casually watching a movie on Saturday afternoon, getting ready to like Uber eat some food, and the news just abruptly dropped. But I think we had knew, you know, or most people knew the 24 hours leading up to that. As soon as you saw the Kenny Pickett scenario with him going to Philadelphia, you knew that the Steelers got Russell Wilson basically on a, you know, dirt cheap 1-year deal. You knew that was the perfect home for Justin Fields. It was only a matter of time before they made the call and made the move to be able to get that done. So, you know, as a Bears fan and as somebody that, you know, has been, you know, going through this ad nauseum, talking about it since, you know, January, I think it's just a sense of thank goodness it's over. I think everybody is thankful it's all over, and the back and forth is over. We can finally turn a page and move on. I think for Justin's standpoint, it's a decent place for him to land. I like the franchise, and I like the head coach, and I like a lot of the infrastructure around it. They did trade Deontay Johnson. I think a lot of people forgot about that. So they're lacking a little bit in weapons. Yep. I like the running game. Offensive line is okay. I don't like Arthur Smith a lot for what Russell Wilson or Justin Fields does best. And that's where I have a lot of questions about both of those guys and how they're going to be able to fit in an Arthur Smith offense. And then for the Bears, you know, the compensation is what it is. I kind of alluded to it last week. I didn't want to go full all in saying it because I didn't want to put, you know, what I was hearing out there. But unfortunately, I heard that the market for Justin just wasn't that good because essentially you were getting a 1-year rental, and it was kind of a double-edged sword because do you want to give up good quality compensation for a guy that is, you know, probably going to be on your team for 1 year, or do you want to give up good compensation for a guy that, let's say, he does have maybe a similar year that he had last year or slightly better, and then all of a sudden you feel like you're forced to double down and either pick up the 5th-year contract or extend him? It's kind of like the Daniel Jones poison pill a little bit. So I think that was scaring a lot of teams away. I think the teams that would have been interested in bringing in Justin Fields are already in a position in the draft to take one of the top 4 or 5 quarterbacks. You know, and so I think that just limited the market a lot for who wanted to go out there and get Justin Fields. I still think some teams should have did it. I think Seattle should have did it. I think Vegas should have did it had they not have hired Luke Getsy. But all in all, he does end up in a pretty good spot for him. And finally, most importantly, he could turn the page and focus on his craft and a new franchise. And the Bears franchise can turn the page, and we can all turn the page. And, you know, this should be a time. Let me say this, and then I'll stop talking. This should be a time for all Bears fans to come together and unite and get really fucking excited about the fact that you have Caleb Williams coming into town sooner than later. this kid, I'm not going to say the generational stuff, anything like that. That's for like First Take and some, you know, shows on the radio. But I will say he is one of the most polished on and off the field prospects you're going to see at the quarterback position in a very long time. If you know his history and backstory, he's literally been groomed on and off the field to be an NFL quarterback. He's going to walk into a locker room day one and talk the talk and walk the walk and put in the work. And I think Bears fans should be excited. I know we feel like we're cursed. And, you know, I know we feel like we, you know, this is maybe another quarterback for us to ruin. But at some point, you know, Stacey King will tell you, if you're scared, go buy a dog. And we have to kind of get past that a little bit and get excited about this young man coming in and start to rally behind him.
Agreed there, Ross. Before we get to the future of Caleb Williams and this Bears offense, just dedicating a little time to Justin Fields, because it is the end of an era and certainly was an exciting quarterback to watch, just may have not put it together for whatever reason, for all those reasons I mentioned and others outside of his control. And Ryan Pohl said, quote, "We have engaged in multiple trade conversations in recent weeks and believe trading Justin at this time to Pittsburgh is what is best for both Justin and the Bears." He always talked about doing right by Justin on the side there. "Today we spoke to Justin to inform him of the trade and the rationale behind it for us as a club. We want to thank him for his tireless dedication, leadership, and all he poured into our franchise and community the last 3 years. And wish him the best towards a long and successful NFL career." So, you know, it begs the question, is this sort of a failed experiment, a failed choice by the Bears to go with Justin Fields? It remains to be seen. And this is certainly, we've seen guys in Justin Fields type position, quarterbacks just be real irked by that sort of situation where they're shunned by a former team. And then they go ball out for another one. Also seen the other side of it where they just waste away holding a clipboard the rest of their life. We don't really know. It really depends on how Pittsburgh wants to utilize him at this point. And you know, to Demers Ranga's point, do either of us think that JF1 has a legit shot at beating out Mr. Dangerous? It has to be in season. It's not going to happen during training camp. It would have to happen, one, if Russell Wilson has an injury, or two, if he has some terrible games like he did in Denver where he plays poorly. And we know we've seen that side of Russell Wilson where he has struggled mightily to put up points last year. He might have a, you know, again, like Ross touched on, the positives with Pittsburgh, having a better head coach, having a better offense sort of around him and skill position players. But, you know, going back to Justin Fields, I appreciated his you know, the classiness he had when he was going to the podium after these tough losses. I appreciate him gutting it out with some of the tougher wins he got. You know, I'll remember kickoff of a couple of years ago when they beat the 49ers in the rain and he just had to have a couple big throws then. And again, that season, that second season where he just was literally running for his life with 50-yard, 60-yard touchdown runs. The highlights were incredible. And it's not what you want out of your quarterback at the end of the day. You want them, you know, throwing darts and you want them building, you know, a good pocket presence and, you know, making those quote great throws that quarterback can make. But you know, Justin Fields certainly did pour his heart out. It just didn't seem like the right situation for him. So, you know, to my question, Ross, I'm curious, do you view it as a failure, or is this just, you know, mostly on Justin Fields rather than the organization?
I think it's a good combination of both, but I do put most of the failure on the Bears organization. I think Justin Fields right now is a poster child for a serious epidemic right now in the NFL, which is, you know, right now in the NFL, we're hitting at about a 40% clip rate at these top picks in the first round, these top quarterbacks taken in the first round. That's just not good enough. We have more data than ever. We have more tape than ever. We have ability to fly across country on a whim to see these guys in person, conversations. You've got, you know, extended stats, analytics, and all this stuff, and still you see the percentage of these guys being good start to drop significantly, and you start to see, well, what's the issue here? In my opinion, I think a lot of these guys are being put into a situation where they are being forced to play earlier than they should. You know, long gone are the years where even a guy like Aaron Rodgers was able to sit for a while and be able to watch and learn. Tom Brady doesn't get his first start until later in his season. Granted, that's just an anomaly. He's just the GOAT. That's who is who he is. But a lot of these guys weren't forced to put out there sooner than later. And I think, you know, if you look at the slotted salaries, I think also are, you know, we always talk about the rookie contract and maximizing that window because teams, but I think that's a detriment because I think teams put these guys out there sooner than later trying to see if they can catch a playoff run or catch a Super Bowl run or something like that when a lot of these guys should be sitting for a year or two, but teams don't want to fast track that fifth year option decision and stuff like that. So you look at when Justin came in, he had Matt Nagy, which was essentially a head coach on his way out. He had Ryan Pace drafting him, which was essentially a general manager on his way out. The receivers sucked. The scheme sucked. The offensive line sucked. His first start was in Cleveland against Jadeveon Clowney and against Myles Garrett, and he got hit 9 times. You knew he didn't need to be out there in that game. You knew he didn't need to have that start in that game. And then what happens is the franchise and infrastructure fails him so much early on that he just starts to develop more bad habits, right? He wasn't a perfect quarterback coming in. He needed some work. But then the issue was now all of a sudden the footwork gets sloppy. Mm. The ball handling gets sloppy. Starts to drop his eyes a little bit more. And you get it. This guy's running for his life. He wasn't even that big of a runner in college. If you watch him in college and you watch him as the Big Ten Player of the Year, he did it mostly with his arm. But I think what happened is just out of pure survival, he was like, shit, I got to run. I got to run now and I got to keep running to get a first down, to try and get some points, to try and extend drives, to try and win a football game, to try and extend my career in the league. And what you have is a young man who unfortunately developed a lot of bad habits. And I think what we're seeing for a lot of these young quarterbacks is unfortunately a lot of these bad habits are not able to be coached out of them later on. Justin Fields now is 25 years old. I think he is 24, 25 years old, right? Unfortunately, a lot of the habits that he has is going to be really hard to coach out of it. And to go to circle all the way back to your initial point, does Mike Tomlin and Arthur Smith have the time to even try to coach it out of him? He's not there for 3-4 years. He's there to be a backup and compete maybe for a job, And they got him for 1 year. They don't have time to try and fix his whole footwork and delivery and stuff like that. And that's where the cycle starts to happen. It's what happened with Mitch Trubisky. You throw in, look what happened with Mac Jones, right? And he had Matt Patricia calling plays for him. Matt Patricia is a fucking idiot. He should never call plays on offense or defense for anybody. And look what happened with Trey Lance. And all of a sudden, you keep seeing this with these younger quarterbacks. This is where I give Ryan Poles a lot of credit right now is he did not draft Justin Fields. He even failed Justin Fields in putting coaching and players around him like he should. But I think that he's realizing right now, we can't keep making the same mistake. So I am going to go out there and I'm going to get Darnell right. I am going to go out there and I'm going to try and make the offensive line better. And DeAndre Smith is a super QB-friendly running back. And Keenan Allen, we were going to talk about him, obviously, is an all-pro caliber wide receiver. And so is DJ Moore and Cole Kmet and Gerald Everett. All of a sudden, you look at the Bears right now, and they have the perfect infrastructure for a young quarterback to come in here and to be able to succeed. And that's just what Justin, unfortunately, didn't have when he came into the league. And I think he got a lot of bad habits that just, you know, got him to where he's at. And I blame a lot of that on the Bears.
It's mixed, but it comes down to his play. The negatives outweighed the positives. As you mentioned, the footwork, the turnovers were huge, whether it be fumbles or whether it be late game interceptions, just, you know, situations where it made you question his, you know, football IQ, as it were. Not to insult the man, but he was also, again, you know, in that second year running for his life, like we talked about, and not committing to that facet of his game where he should have been developing more. Again, that pocket presence, rollouts, things like that. And, you know, again, half of it is on the Bears organization. And Ryan Poles gave him the shot that he deserved, right, with this last year. I certainly supported him. I do believe that, and they had a good working relationship. I still think they do have a good relationship. Business is business, as DJ Moore mentioned on Twitter, I believe. And so now he gets a fresh start. Ryan Poles, as we flip to this organization as it stands today, really just laid the groundwork. Looking at Darnell Wright last year, and getting DJ Moore just in that blockbuster trade to get him and stockpile picks, build some on the defense and build some on the offense. The offseason up until that Keenan Allen trade, building the offensive line, building up the interior. And then, again, as we switch to Keenan Allen, getting him, as we got off air last week, in a huge move with the Chargers. He was entering the final season of a four-year contract extension. They traded a fourth-round pick to get him. And immediately it looks like this is the best wide receiver duo that the Bears have ever seen. You think maybe the closest thing is Alshon Jeffrey and Brandon Marshall, and we saw what they were able to do. But you just think of the potential they have, and like many people have pointed out, this is a dream situation for Caleb Williams. The only thing he really has to worry about is the speed of the NFL. He's got protection. He's got weapons. DeAndre Swift coming off his best year in the league, now going to be in the backfield with him. And then to have those weapons, to have Cole Kmet, as you mentioned, a bona fide Pro Bowl tight end, it's pretty incredible to think about the potential for this Bears offense. I am certainly, like you said, I agree that Bears fans should be excited as ever about the potential for this offense, because too often it's been looking at Green Bay and just lusting after what they had and imagining how our offense could be so much better as Bears fans, and then seeing just dismal production and inconsistency and quarterback after quarterback, just brutal. But the Keenan Allen trade, I was shocked to see that they got a star wide receiver like that, especially a year after getting DJ Moore. Were you as surprised as I was, Ross?
I was surprised in the moment that it happened. I was not surprised that the Chargers made the move. We've seen the Chargers purge salary all offseason.
Not looking good for Justin Herbert.
No, it's not. And all of a sudden, wide receiver becomes a huge area of need for them as they sit in the top of the draft as well. But, you heard a lot of the comments. Keenan Allen during his press conference says, look, I came off my best year as a pro. This is probably my last opportunity to get one more paycheck. I'm not taking a pay cut for you guys. And I think he was absolutely correct on that. And it just wasn't a fit. One team's trying to shed salary. One player is trying to add more salary one more time before he's gone. So I wasn't surprised that the Chargers traded him. In the moment, I was surprised that the Bears went after him, because he wasn't on my radar, in my opinion, until I saw Caleb Williams' pro day yesterday. And who was there? Keenan Allen was there. And then you listen to Caleb Williams talk in his his interviews after the pro day, and he said, "Yeah, me and Keenan have gotten to know each other over the last year. We've hung out." And I said, "You did the Brian Windhorst meme. You're like, ah, there it is." You start connecting the dots. You start realizing Ryan Poles is crazy like a fox. He probably knew a lot of that. Remember, he's had conversations with a lot of people, with Caleb already, with people around Caleb. And what better way to introduce your rookie quarterback into your situation, infrastructure, than go out there and get an all-pro wide receiver there he already has a relationship with. And then all of a sudden, that made all the sense in the world to me. Not only do I think that it's a good trade and it's worth a fourth-round pick, I fully expect Keenan Allen to finish his career in a Bears uniform. He's going to become that important, in my opinion, going forward. I made this comparison on Twitter yesterday. He's now your DeMar DeRozan. You know what I'm saying? Like DeMar DeRozan, a guy that gets brought in and helps bring these young guys together. I know a lot of people are like, well, the Bulls still stink, something like that. You want to know how bad the Bulls would be if DeMar DeRozan wasn't on this team? They wouldn't even be competing for a play-in spot. And look what's happened with Ayo Dosunmu and Kobe White. And he's been in those guys' ears every single day, uplifting them to be good young players. I think that's the same comparison that you have here with Keenan Allen. And when you can do that, pay him his money. I don't care about the fourth round pick. Those things could be replaced easily. Very smart move by the Bears.
a very smart move. Incredible, you know, six-time Pro Bowler. He caught 108 passes last season, 1,200 yards, seven touchdowns, sixth time in Allen's career that crossed the 100,000-yard marker. It reminds me of, you know, look at Mr. Consistent Mike Evans and these vet receivers. And Keenan Allen, the only thing, I hate to say it, obviously, but the only thing that could stop him is injury that he struggled with on and off in his NFL career. But if healthy next to DJ Moore, my goodness, you think about it. And it just a home run move for the Bears. You'd love seeing him at the pro day with Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus, excuse me, for Caleb Williams. And that, you know, helps us transition to Caleb Williams. And I think it was the main headline was that, you know, not participating. No one's worried about the combine with these top picks like Marvin Harrison Jr. and Caleb Williams. Like, look at this guy, the pro day, and the throws he made were just effortless, man. The footwork looking really good. Obviously, the arm strength is there. Looks like the sky is the limit for him. It just any the way he handled himself, you know, in the media hits, all of that was, again, just impressive. There's no other word I could think of for it right now. The talent is clearly there. He's taking away any doubters. You know, we can answer Vizo Joe's question on the same subject. Is there a scenario where the Bears will announce they're taking Caleb at one, similar to the Jags when they took Trevor? Yeah, you could certainly see it. I think it's not Ryan Poles' style, perhaps, but it's certainly a possibility. If I'm walking away from that pro day and I'm Ryan Poles and Eberflus, we're saying, hey, this is our guy. This is, again, what we've been preparing for at the start of this very, you know, very short offseason so far. But, you know, about a month away from the draft, it looks certainly like it's a 100% possibility that they are getting Caleb Williams in a Bears uniform and taking him at number one overall.
They are 90% there right now. I can promise you that. And the extra 10% will happen within the next week or so. Especially, you know, again, these guys get slotted contracts now. That's usually the hardest part back in the day. You know, if you remember the old Mario Williams, the defensive end that got drafted last minute, first overall, because the Texans weren't able to work out anything with Reggie Bush, even though Reggie Bush took zero visits throughout his process in the draft. The only team he visited was the Texans. He really thought he was going there. And in the last minute, they took Mario Williams. A lot of it was they just couldn't get the money together. You know, what were you going to pay a running back first overall? That whole thing was a mess. So I do think, to Joe's question, that the Bears could make this decision or leak this info probably by the first week of April. The only way I see that they wouldn't do that is if Roger Goodell
is evil twin.
Yeah. Maybe it's Robert Goodell who's gonna make the call. He's gonna pick up the bat phone and say, listen, can you give me just a little bit of suspense on draft night? I got about 25 million people, you know, watching this thing. We got this big stage in Detroit. Can you just give me the 10 minutes of suspense and let the clock, you know, leak out? That's the only way I can see the Bears not announcing it earlier than the draft. But yeah, listen, you know, to close point, the footwork is terrific. The hand placement on the ball is terrific. The ball just jumps out of his hands. The kid is just so cool and poised out there. He knows everybody's there to watch him. He knows all eyes are on him. It's a kid that's been living in a penthouse in LA for the last 3-4 years. Like, he just is cool, calm, and collected. You know, those are the most important things that you take away from that kind of pro day. And you know, he's walking around like he's like his shit doesn't stink. Like, he knows he's the number one overall pick. And I'll be completely honest with you, I know that rubs a lot of people the wrong way. It does not to me at all. You have to have a little bit of arrogance, in my opinion, to be a professional athlete, but also to be a quarterback of a football team and to be able to command the huddle and things of that nature. I know this is not going to make a lot of Bears fans thrilled, but the kid really idolizes Aaron Rodgers growing up. And he's got a lot of Aaron Rodgers in him, in his makeup and in his game. And listen, if we get the next Aaron Rodgers but it happens to be in a Bears uniform, I think we'll all be okay with that as Bears fans, even though Aaron Rodgers has been public enemy number one for the last 10, 15 years. The biggest question is and will be, will Caleb Williams wear number 12?
What number is he wearing?
Like Aaron Rodgers. And if he does, Oh boy, that's a nice troll job that we haven't seen in a long time from a Chicago athlete.
Well, we know Keenan Allen's keeping 13. He's the vet, no doubt there. That would be quite a troll job. But, Caleb Williams, you talked about all his swagger and everything he was doing in his pro day, and Jalen Johnson talking about, not letting Caleb Williams walk around like the big man on campus in Chicago. What you did in college, the Hollywood, now you got to prove yourself. That's what the vet would say. Right. And Caleb Williams walking into such a great situation is really intriguing for this division, for the Bears' future, and really their outlook into the season when you've, obviously been chasing your rival Green Bay and Detroit and Minnesota for a while. Minnesota's, certainly had their down years, just like the Bears, and the quarterback situation not looking great right now. But I think that, everybody's talking in the comments here that playoffs are certainly a possibility. We're getting way ahead of ourselves, but it looks like it on paper. This is going to be a very potent Bears offense, and you got to be excited about it. You got to, of course, think about what the Bears want to do with their second pick in the first round. If they do go get Roman Duze, or if someone takes him off the board before the Bears, who are you going to go with? Are you going to bolster that offensive line or maybe get an edge? What are you going to do at this point? Because you certainly have the weapons, but you shouldn't be done with the wide receiver room. I think adding some youth there, a speedster, a slot guy, would be really beneficial for them. Ant Mass talked about the money savings is huge with Justin Fields at this point. Merce Rango on the Keenan Allen talk asked if he'll get extended and why or why not. What do you think about that, Ross?
I think so. I said a couple minutes ago, and I think he's here to stay for the rest of his career. He's going to be that valuable to your rookie quarterback. He's definitely worth the fourth round pick, and whatever extension he wants, listen, the Bears have the money. They'll have the money going forward. We got the quarterback on the rookie deal. Give him his money and let him retire as a Bear.
And Keenan Allen, the newest. And then, we didn't really talk about the sort of less heralded acquisitions that the Bears had. And they, of course, are not going to have the same headlines as Keenan Allen. But, does offensive tackle Jake Curran or Byron Coer, they added a couple of edge guys, which was encouraging. I feel like, Ross, any of those guys, leave an impression for you or have a blip on the radar?
No, I mean, just they're good depth options, right? And that's usually what you want, is you want guys that are quality veterans, are going to be able to come in if they need to play, a couple snaps because the guy's banged up and he's come out for a couple minutes, or if you need a guy that's going to be able to start for a game. Or this becomes a war of attrition now. These 17 games, they become brutal for these players, especially the big guys. It's very rare that you see offensive linemen or defensive linemen make it 17 games in the season. So you need quality veteran backups behind them to be able to go in a pinch, that know the offense and be able to pick up where they left off. Maybe the talent drops off a little bit, but at least they're not going to make the mental mistakes, false starts, offsides, holding penalties. Those are the things that kill drives and really hurt your young quarterback.
I like it. And on the note of the NFL and Keenan Allen, we got the sequel to Quarterback, the series last year on Netflix that came out. We got Receiver, Ross. What are your impressions with that? We got Devontae Adams, Justin Jefferson, George Kittle, Debo Samuel, Amon-Ra St. Brown. Are you excited for a Receiver like you were with Quarterback?
I am a little more excited for Receiver than Quarterback. My biggest gripe with these shows is you've got to balance out the talent. There's too many big names on there. When you start when you start talking about Devontae Adams and Amon-Ra St. Brown, and these guys are so good, and these guys are so used to the cameras in their face that they're so polished and have such a media presence that they're going to give you the same cliche bullshit for the most part. I want the guy struggling to make the roster. I want the guy that maybe was a journeyman that's been bounced around for a couple of years, or the rookie, right? They really, in hindsight, man, they could have had Puka Nacua, right, from last year, and that would have been a really fun season to track from last season. So I hope that they go forward and start to balance this out a little bit. I'd have like two guys at the top, kind of like a journeyman guy, kind of like a rookie mid-rounder or something like that.
they should follow this with punter. You know, punter. That would be a good twist. Everybody's expecting running back
on Tubi on Tuesday nights.
it's all these European fucking guys who used to or ex soccer players.
Coming up on Freebie tonight, long snapper.
I'd watch it. I think the Bears. I think Patrick Scale said something about that on Twitter. It was very amusing. You know, the only other real NFL notes I have. You know, you talked about Aaron Rodgers. And certainly missed out all last season with the Achilles injury, but the Jets have been making moves, baby. I mean, getting some great protection for him with Tyron Smith, who was unhappy with the Cowboys, and now getting, you know, opposite of Keenan Allen and Mike Williams, stealing him away from the Chargers. It's looking up for the Jets right now. Any other, you know, your impressions with that or any other NFL storylines you're hot on?
No, just, you know, with the Jets, you know, good moves, but as always with them, they got a lot of guys on there that tend to be made of glass. And so it tends to be a house of cards situation with the Jets. If one of those cards falls down, that whole infrastructure can fall pretty quickly. And I'm not convinced Robert Saleh is the guy that can be able to keep that thing afloat. We did not say, did we say goodbye to Aaron Donald?
No.
About that? Is right. So I think we need to spend a minute and talk about definitely the greatest defensive tackle of all time. He's probably top three defensive player of all time. Unfortunately, he was drafted one spot ahead of Kyle Fuller, right? So one spot ahead of the Bears. But just an amazing career. And, you know, he's Super Bowl champion. He was the guy that sealed that Super Bowl with that hit on Joe Burrow as they were driving. And did, of course, the famous ring finger celebration. And just an outstanding career. I like it when these guys go out on top. And now that we know more about what the game does to you health-wise, they go out while they're able to keep their health. And he can enjoy his family now and all his money and not have to worry about, you know, any other health issues.
Even though he was just physically, again, you talk about being in the – same breath as all these great defensive tackles that we've seen of all time. He's likely the best. Just his athleticism at 6'1", 280 was out of this world. And what a game wrecker he was playing his entire career, you know, with the Rams, a Super Bowl champion, 3-time defensive player of the year, defensive rookie of the year, went to the Pro Bowl 10 times, just unbelievable. Career, just a game record, like you said, doing the ring on his finger. I'll remember all those moments and the Super Bowl run. It was great to see him do that. And again, to your point about these guys retiring and knowing when to retire, these early 30s just make the most sense for these guys, especially, you know, you look at Jason Kelce retiring recently and now Aaron Donald. They have, you know, their whole lives ahead of them, and they're entering sort of that quote prime, but already playing for, you know, about a decade or basically a decade in the NFL. It makes a lot of sense for him to move on. I'm curious to see what he'll do next. If he goes, if he stays within football or does something completely different. But I know there's there's many an NFL quarterback that was really happy to hear that news, especially in his division, that Aaron Donald was retiring.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But there's always some new guys coming in ready to take their spot. I know we didn't talk a lot of NFL draft stuff, but I am leaning right now towards the Bears trading down from that 9 spot. And I am all in on Byron Murphy, defensive tackle from Texas. I think if you can recoup a second round pick and take that young man and take a wide receiver in the second, we might be cooking a little bit, but we can talk a little bit more NFL draft down the line, but this is a Byron Murphy fan club, president of the fan club right now.
Oh, okay. And ladies and gentlemen, Cliff has just gotten out of a shower. If you're following along in the comments, that means we can talk March Madness now, Ross. Have you been following the madness? And today we got our first upset with Duquesne knocking off BYU earlier. You know, as far as seeding, you know, you really see – the 11-6s, I feel like, you know, there's a lot going on there as far as upsets are concerned. I would say you could flip them, yeah. Oregon beating South Carolina, not too much. And as far as surprises, you know, we haven't seen really many scares for the top seeds. Creighton, it looked like a little dicey in the first half, but they pulled away from Akron. North Carolina, you know, Wagner never had a chance when they were barely 500 making the tournament. North Carolina almost blowing them out by 30. U of I looked a little sketchy there for a minute, but they righted the ship against Morehead State. Texas beating Colorado State right now. Kentucky, we'll see. You know, they're one of the presumed favorites. You looking forward to any certain matchups either later tonight or tomorrow or the rest of the weekend?
No, just, you know, just, for now, like, it's going so fast. It's going like a mile a minute. There's so many games. You kind of just like,
guys are nuts.
Yeah, you're kind of just trying to catch what's going on. And then when you kind of see something like that catches your eye, like Dayton today coming back from 17 down with like 7 minutes left, you kind of try and pop into that. I think as the today and tomorrow kind of subside, then you can kind of start to narrow in a little bit on some of the tighter games. Shout out to Illinois. It didn't look good there for the first half, but they were able to turn it on in the second half and keep that going. That's awesome. Kentucky, actually, Oakland is a game that I want to keep an eye on as soon as we're done here, because I have a feeling that Oakland can kind of keep this close and really push Kentucky to the limit. But yeah, it's fun. You know, it just moves so fast right now that I usually like it Saturday into Sunday and definitely next weekend. I know everybody is loves the first day and stuff like that, but I'm more of a second, third, fourth day kind of guy.
Yeah, third, fourth day, you start to, really get into the meat and potatoes of it. But, you know, we'll see. We've seen, you know, in recent memory, the number one and number two seeds going down. So, you know, I'm keeping an eye on Grambling and Purdue. And when you think about the presumptive favorites to win the whole thing as far as Connecticut, Houston, Purdue, and then some of the blue blood sprinkled in there. I would love to see at least, you know, these one seeds or two or 16 and 15 seeds rather get a little close there, but you're right. It's more about Saturday, Sunday, and we get into those more deserving sort of, programs that have played well throughout the season. Do you got a favorite? I don't know. We talked about, you know, I'm very big on UConn. Again, a favorite that I did not mention. But yeah, anyone outside of there, Ross, Kansas, Duke?
Yeah, I was going to say UConn's up there. Kansas is missing their best player. He's out for the tournament. So I don't know how that's going to affect them. But I think also you got to pay attention to Purdue, right? Big Ten team. And in Houston as well. So if I were power ranking them, if I was power ranking them right now, I think my top three would be UConn, Houston, Purdue. I feel like one of those, probably at least two of those teams will make the Final Four, and I think your champion is going to be out of one of those three.
We shall see. I mean, UConn, it is very different, you know, having a lot of their players leave, but Houston got a ton of firepower. I'm curious to see how their tournament goes, but everybody enjoy March Madness for sure. Let's go on to some quick hits as we wrap up our show here. Are you watching Shogun, Ross? I've been starting it, and I'm all in on it. And it's funny, I'm also watching Tokyo Vice on and off. I got fucking Japanese subtitles always on in the evening in the basement here at our household. So, but Shogun, which is, you know, the latest adaptation, they did it as a movie back in the 80s, and now they're doing it in silver screen, as it were. And it looks like the budget and the acting and everything is really great. I can't read the book now. It's like 1,000 pages. I would love to pick it up, but it's just such a time commitment. I read all those books, I feel like, at one point. But yeah, you liking it?
I am liking it. Great acting. I love the fact that they stayed authentic and kept the authentic Japanese in the show and not switch it to Japanese people speaking English. There is a dub version for people that want to watch it, but I do think that people should watch it with the Japanese and watch it with the subtitles. I think it just lends to the authenticity of the show. I think it's beautifully shot. I love the costume designs of the show. You can tell FX definitely spent a lot of money. You can tell that this is their Game of Thrones, so to speak. A lot of this stuff is based on historical facts, but a lot of it is also loosely put in there, and there's a lot of fiction in there for the story. But it's awesome. I love the fact that it's a miniseries. I don't need you extending things to multiple seasons. When I was a kid, they did roll that TV into history class and show us the original, which is kind of weird because there was also a lot of sex in there and a lot of violence and stuff like that. But, you know, it was the 90s. We got down differently in the 90s, but I'm enjoying it. It's the perfect show, like the bridge show this time of year before we get maybe some of the other bigger ticket items that are coming out in the spring and the summer. Game of Thrones trailer came out today in the summertime, right? So we're going to get some other big tent shows coming up soon.
Got that goddamn bad phone going on in the background. I don't know what's happening. The old rotary phone doesn't stop ringing here. Cliff is talking barbecue to us in the comments as well. And enjoy your ribs, Cliff. You talked about the casting for it too. It's really great. The guy who plays the lead, you know, English character, John Blackthorne, is very good. And then, you know, you've seen some of these Japanese actors before, but the cast is, like you said, you know, kind of a la Game of Thrones. It's a lot of characters to keep a track of, but huge budget. FX stays winning with a show like this. This is a great drama to add to its rotation. Are y'all in on the media tip on this new Beetlejuice that's going to be coming out, reprising Michael Keaton and Winona Ryder, and then bringing in Jenna Ortega, who always seems to be in these sort of movies?
Yeah, that's the only thing that bothers me. I think she's a little oversaturated right now with the dark horror, like pseudo scary stuff. She's now Scream, but she's gone because she's had some comments about what's going on, you know, overseas, and they didn't like that. She's Wednesday, right? So that's another thing. She's just all over the place, and she's been in a Ty West movie, or a Ty West horror movie, X, which is a great movie if you've never seen it before. So that's the only part. But she does, you know, if somebody would be the Winona Ryder or Christina Ricci type person, Jenna Ortega definitely is the heir apparent to that. Love Michael Keaton. Michael Keaton is just an icon. He's one of our best actors ever. Yep. Beetlejuice is it is my second favorite Tim Burton movie of all time, behind the Michael Keaton and Jack Nicholson Batman. So, you know, I definitely like it more than Edward Scissorhands and some of the other Tim Burton movies that he's done. I'm enjoying it. I'm excited for it. I hope they bring back like Catherine O'Hara. She should be in it, right? Because she was in the first one as well.
She's in it. Yeah.
Good. I don't know if you could bring back Alec Baldwin these days or Gina Davis, mm-hmm. but it'd be fun to see them back in it as well.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean,
Alec Baldwin shot somebody, so I don't know where he's at in Hollywood right now. I don't know if he's allowed back on sets or not.
I think it's still to be determined. He's still towing the line of Kevin Spacey territory, obviously for different reasons, but you know what I mean? Like as far as blacklisting from Hollywood. So we shall see. I really don't have too much else we're hot on, Ross. You know, enjoy the March Madness tournament, unless you have anything that you wanted to mention, Ross. Any music tips, anything?
Well, we get Future Metro Boomin tomorrow, right? That's going to be a big album as we head to the summertime. Future will guarantee to give you the hip-hop summer anthem. You know, him and Metro Boomin have collaborated a lot, so anticipate that tomorrow. Otherwise, no, that's about it. I think we're in the quiet time right now for pop culture and stuff like that. Everybody's locking in on March Madness. And then, you know, we're headed to the draft. I think that's what a lot of people are excited for right now as we descend on Detroit. Shout out to Detroit this year for hosting the draft. We do have opening day next week. Shout out to Shohei Ohtani. That is increasingly becoming one of the weirdest stories ever with the betting thing. Maybe we'll get some more light on that. But
interpreting it. Yeah,
I will be freezing my tush off at Guaranteed Rate Field next Thursday for White Sox opening day. Might be the only game I'm at this year, as they might be 30 games under 500. But I will at least be in the house next Thursday.
Love it. Bad phone's ringing again. That means it's time for me to sign off. Thank you.
That's Ohtani's bookie on line one.
I got to take this. Thanks, everybody, for watching, listening in. Thanks to the Barflies for chiming in. Cliff, good luck with your ribs, pouring your lard onto the ribs. Love that. And hopefully the girlfriend for your son is not a vegan like my wife. Follow us on Twitter. Follow me at The Rail Evan Mack. Follow Ross at Ross Reed. Remember, all the previous episodes are on Spotify, iTunes for the audio-only versions, and, of course, on YouTube if you want to see our lovely faces. For now, we say deuces. Everybody be good to each other out there. So long, everybody. Enjoy March Madness.
Peace.